I'm the 20% of people. When I feel stressed, I'm like, please, let's have sex. I'm really turned on by mystical practices in sexuality. I love that. We're going to have massive orgasm here. And, you know, orgasm fuels all kinds of things in life. I often say pleasure first. Why is it that abundance pours into my life?
Hello and welcome back to the Law of Attraction Secrets podcast. I'm your host, Natasha Graziano. Today, we are diving across the ocean to an award-winning somatic sexologist. She's the author of Your Blueprint for Pleasure, founder and creator of the Erotic Blueprint Breakthrough, this epic book right here. The star of Netflix's Sex, Love, and Goop, you probably know it and who I'm talking about, Jaya, is an award-winning sexologist. She's somebody that you want to learn from if you want to know how to unlock the key of turn-ons, ancient erotic rituals, tantric sex, mastery of sensual touch, and so many more kinky dynamics, which we are going to be learning about. Today, we are diving into Your Blueprint for Pleasure. If maybe you're unsure on how to navigate your partner's sense of entitlement and lack of empathy, we might go there. We may dive into a little bit around the love for your partner. Should it be unconditional? Is it conditional? What are healthy boundaries? We're also going to dive into self-image and how to process trauma and how to process unprocessed trauma and monogamy. If that sounds like something you're interested in, you want to learn all about sex, and yes, this is the very first time that we are doing sex on this show, like as a full episode, you are in for a treat today. I for sure want to learn how to have a massive orgasm. So welcome to the show, Jaya.
Yay! Wow. I love that. We're going to have massive orgasm here. And, you know, orgasm fuels all kinds of things in life. I often say pleasure first. So let's just start with the pleasure, because pleasure is the fuel for everything that you want to attract in your life.
Wow, let's go there. How did you work that out? Like most women, we don't even orgasm till we're like 30. I didn't actually have my first sexual orgasm, like properly from sex, until I was 30. I'm 33 now. So as soon as I did, I was like, oh my God, like I wanted oral sex after that. But before that, I was like, no, you are not going to do this on me. Like, I'm not into it. I didn't get it. Like, how did you come to the place where you realized all of this stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I became involved in Tantra very early on. I was a teenager when I was like, well, what's this thing called sex? There has to be more to this thing called sex than what our culture and society says it is. And I was very into consciousness, spirituality, and also attraction, like success. I wanted to be really successful in the world. And when I was little, I wanted to be an opera singer. So, you know, I was like, well, how do I get there from rural Ohio, little poor girl in rural Ohio, you know, showing up. And so I had this big vision for myself. And somewhere I had read how sexuality and pleasure could be this tool, because it's life force. It's Shakti energy, is life force energy. And so moving that energy through your body creates more charisma, more attraction. And then I thought, well, what about pleasure and orgasm? They're these taboo things, but learning very early on that that could be something that could increase my health, my longevity, and also my money in my bank account. So I did an experiment where for 90 days, every morning I had my O vitamin. And so it was even in my schedule, my business, my team and my business, like put it in my schedule. I was like, well, let's see if this really works. If I set an intention and then I fuel that intention with orgasmic energy, with life force energy, with aliveness, will that do something with my business? Will that help me increase my business and my success? I will say that over the 90 days, I quadrupled my business. And later that year, I hit my first $1 million year. So there was something, like I was like, okay, there actually is something to this sex manifestation. If you can learn how to transmute sexual energy into what it is you're visualizing or what it is that you're trying to manifest in your life.
Okay, can we continue in that? That sounds amazing. So how do you use that sexual energy to manifest things? This is the Law of Attraction Secrets, and hell, this is a big secret right now. So let's go there.
I knew you'd love this. So another way, I mean, I think there's lots of tools for manifestation and sexuality and pleasure. And this life force energy just happens to be another way. And why not do it in pleasure? I mean, I think a lot of times we like go into suffering around things. And so let's have a way that's more pleasurable. So one thing is sex transmutation. How are you utilizing your sexual energy? Are you allowing it to leak out? Are you unconscious of your sexual energy? Are you unconscious of this life force that's moving through you? So the first step is just to get conscious. What are you intending with sex? Is it intentional or is it something that's just kind of happening to you? And this is an interesting, there's a book that I love called Dilemmas of Desire. And it was about 100 girls in high school that they interviewed. And they talked to all of them about their first experiences with sexuality. And for 98 of those 100 girls, it just happened. It was something that was unconscious. It was something that felt even forced or pressured for them. And only two of them actually took sexuality in their own hands. Well, I was in that 2%. I was one of those girls who was like, okay, hold on. If I'm gonna do this, like, how am I utilizing my own self-pleasure, my own self-love and intentionality behind it to now not just let that energy leak out all over the place, but to actually move it through my body and through my whole system. And so sex transmutation, it's actually talked about in the book, Think and Grow Rich, chapter 11, everybody misses it.
That's right. No, absolutely. And people miss it because they have no idea what the fuck it is, but I understand it. You for sure understand it. So come on, keep going. This is so good.
And so what my practice was from a very early age was, okay, I'm going to take that energy and I'm going to pull it through the rest of my body from my genitals all the way up through my spine and into the brain. And we hear people like Joe Dispenza, even, you know, he doesn't talk about the sexual energy aspect of it, but he does this technique where you draw it up and that puts pressure on the pineal gland. It also magnetizes the cerebral spinal fluid. So that's the fluid that your spinal cord is in and your brain is in. And so it's charging the cerebral spinal fluid. And what people say, and the ancients have said, is that this actually awakens genius in your brain. So you get ideas, you get new neural pathways that are being created in the brain. And as you put stimulation onto that pineal gland, that hydraulic pressure on the pineal gland, you can get pineal gland ejaculations, which is where you start to get these fluids, they call it Amrita in Tantra, that are, again, are bathing our brain. So we're bathing our brain in all of this pleasure, which then gives us new ideas, new information, new neural nets, and also mystical experiences. And so all of that through sex transmutation. And can I give everybody a technique? I can give you all my sex transmutation.
Yeah, please do. Please do. Okay. By the way, when you're saying pull up this energy to the pineal gland, I understand that. We do it with breath work. You suck it all up. You push it like Joe Dispenza teaches, the top of your head almost. And he talks about sexual transmutation. The feeling that you get in your genitals when you're like excited is the same feeling you should be sending throughout your body. When are we meant to be doing this suck up exercise? Is it when we're having sex? Is it when we're horny? Like, when is it?
So you can do this anytime. I do it when I'm sitting in traffic, you know? And if you're feeling like, oh, you know, if you're sitting here thinking like, well, but I don't have a lot of sexual energy. I don't feel a lot of sexual energy. Then, you know, start just to think about the genitals and start to put your attention, your focus there. As we know, energy flows where our attention goes. And so if we put our attention there, we can start to bring more energy and life force there, or even just doing, you know, some people call them Kegels or like pelvic floor contractions in Tantra. They're called Mula Bandha, the root contraction. And so you're contracting and relaxing. For those of you who have a cervix or a vulva, that is lifting through the vulva up near the cervix. And for those of you who have testicles, then it's in between the scrotum and the anus, and you're squeezing there. So you're focusing on squeezing and pulsing, which can start to generate some of that life force energy. Racehorses do it. If you've ever watched at a racehorse track, their tails are flicking, flicking, flicking before they go out of the gate. And it's because they're like getting ready to run. It's called a Swini Mudra, the gesture of the horse in Tantra. And so by pulsing the pelvic floor, we start to get more energy. And also just anatomically, we have our erectile network, for those of us with vulvas, is sandwiched between these muscles on our pelvic floor. So every time we're squeezing it, we're squeezing our entire erectile network, which can, just by doing that, we can become more orgasmic and have orgasms from that. So that would be a first step, is like, let's generate some sexual energy. So that could be, you know, like you said, I'm feeling a little horny, or I'm feeling like I'm in the middle of sex with my partner. And now let's practice this transmutation, because we're getting really close to climax. And instead of climaxing, let's bring that energy now through the whole body, so we become full body orgasmic, not just genitally orgasmic.
Wow. So you like send the energy up to the top of your head. And then what do you do? How do you manifest from there? Because I've heard, which I've actually tried, when you are having sex and you're climaxing, particularly for the dude, like when, you know, they have a whole different experience. That is when you visualize what you want to manifest.
So exactly.
Like, you're climaxing, coming, whatever you want to call it. In that moment, you are visualizing that big old mansion that you want. Or when you're like climaxing in that moment, you should be visualizing the money in the bank account that you want, because it is magnified, amplified when you are coming. How crazy is that? Can you tell me the science behind that?
That is exactly it. That's exactly right. So you're taking this deep breath in, you're bringing it up, you're magnetizing the cerebral spinal fluid. Now, if you squeeze the pelvic floor and you draw your belly button back to your spine and you hold it there, you're now squeezing on the pineal gland. So you're putting that hydraulic pressure on the pineal gland. And then when you release that energy, then sometimes that pineal gland will release. And so we're getting a glandular, really, it can happen throughout the whole body. We're getting this glandular feeding. You know, like it's exciting, it's building, it's healthful. We're also getting sex hormones, which are our youth hormones. And so, you know, what I was saying earlier around, you're bringing that up, but that moment of orgasm, there's so much happening in the body, depending upon how we orgasm. Some people are tension orgasmers, which means we can roll into that orgasm as we're tensing. We're tensing the muscles of the body. We're putting this hydraulic pressure on the brain. And then it's when we relax that things expand and we start to get some of the neurochemicals that put us in an elevated state. And when you're in an elevated state, you're more charismatic, you're more likely to get ideas, you're more likely to have this attraction to the things that you're putting out in the universe. Now that's like physical layer, you know, like talking about what's happening on the physical layer, but there's also a field. And maybe you teach this to everyone. There's a field, a quantum field that is being affected by our intention going out into that field. And the orgasm is the fuel. It's like putting a rocket booster on it through the rest of the field. And so just to review a little, because I think we've kind of gotten the steps in different ways. So you're here and you're getting orgasmic energy going. And then you're going to breathe it up the spine and contract the pelvic floor and contract the belly button toward the spine. Bring it all the way up into your brain. Hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it. You can take a sniff of air, bring it to the crown, to the top of the head, and then exhale and bring it back down to the genitals. So that would be like one round of a transmutation breath. So you could do that at the moment of orgasm or right before, especially for guys who, you know, you want to keep going and you don't want to spill over into an ejaculation. This could cause you to have an orgasm. But I think that this is also just really good for creating longevity within the sexual experience. And I do that three times. So three times when I'm getting really close to that climax, I'll do that breath three times. And then we'll build up again, all over again, build up all the erotic energy all over again, and then do three more. and then build up erotic energy all over again and do three more so that I've done at least 9 breaths within either a solo pleasure experience, which this was my daily practice every day for, it's been almost 30 years. I've done this practice every day for 30 years.
Where you breathe, but you don't necessarily orgasm. You just take it to that point.
Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I will, you know, after the 9 breaths, have an orgasm or do the breath during the orgasm so that I really get that explosive.
And by the way, you're not even having to actually like touch the genitals. You're actually just doing this through breath,
mm-hmm.
through mind control.
Yeah, my practice this morning, I sit again almost every morning. I go into a practice of, for me, I'm transmuting the sexual energy into unconditional love for the world. That's a big piece of my practice because I feel like I've done so much personal manifestation.
Wow.
Now I'm manifesting for the collective. Like, can we just put so much unconditional love into the field that now I'm utilizing that sexual energy to dispel darkness, to dispel, you know, the shadow side of humanity into this space of unconditional love. And so I'll get into a little bit of an aroused state. I don't even, again, need to touch myself. I can just do the pelvic floor contractions. That's exactly what I did this morning. And then I did a series of 4 different breaths that I am practicing right now as transmutation of moving that into the unconditional love and into the field.
Wow. And then when you go and send that energy out, you visualize what you want. You were saying you do it for darkness and shadow work. So you're basically sending out this feeling of what you want. Do you see what I would do then is what I teach. You send it out into the field and then script. So I would say as soon as you finish that visualization, go straight now and dive into scripting and start writing. Start writing your goals down. Start just feeling this energy mm-hmm. of joy, of love, of gratitude, because you're in such a heightened state.
Yep.
Now is when you script. So for everybody that doesn't know what scripting is, if you write down your goals in the past tense, that is scripting. If you write down your goals, the things you want to achieve in the past tense, as though they're already yours, that's scripting. And I've done a whole TED talk on it. You can have a look online. And I also do scripting. I teach it in my community. So underneath here, you'll see a little link, guys. You can see for Scripting Society where you can come and join and learn about scripting. Okay, let's go into what you do after you have that climax. What do you do?
Yeah, so then I will usually do some kind of blessing of something that might be difficult that's going on in someone else's life or in my own. I try to find, if it's something in my own, I try to find connection to anyone else who's having that same difficulty. So for example, right now in my life, I have a beloved who has stage 4 cancer. And so every day I just scoop him up and then I'm transmuting that cancer into light and into relief for him so that he can then, you know, just feel relief as he's going through this process of being in his healing with this stage 4 cancer. And they gave him 4 months and now we're on 6 months. Like, you know, they said like he wasn't going to live and now we're like past that. So like, and now there's hope, like we're finding new ways of like working with it. So
it's wow.
Like, wow. Okay. So this is really working to transmute the suffering. And then I do similar to you. I take time to write. And I write I am statements. So, or I do there's
affirmations.
Affirmations,
which is where
I'll even ask a question. So instead of saying like, why, like I'm so abundant or I am abundance or I am love, I will say, why is it that abundance pours into my life? So it's a question.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that money just comes to me, or mm-hmm. why is it that I have so much love in my life? How did I get to this place in my life where I have abundance of love and resources? How is it that I'm affecting so many people on the planet and having such a huge impact with my message? Why is my book a bestseller all over the world? You know, like these. So I'll just write it in a question, which then gets my energy even more activated. Like it just feels like it becomes even more infused with orgasmic energy and uplifts my radiance.
Wow, that's so cool. I love that. I know our audience is going to love it because they love scripting. So that is such a great way. You could do that to actually start your scripting off as well, guys. So get into this orgasmic state, feel amazing, and then start writing and ask yourself questions as you're writing. That's so beautiful. Such a great thing. Okay, I want to talk about your book, Your Blueprint for Pleasure. which we may even use for the title of this episode. I just think it's so cool. Your blueprint for pleasure, the five erotic types to awaken and fulfill your desires. Can we talk about the five erotic types?
Absolutely. So everyone has a different type. And this came to me, I love those personality typing systems and, you know, just knowing more about who you are and everything. So I thought, something about eroticism and all my clients that I've worked with over the years, is there a pattern? Is there a language for us? Is there a way so that we can more deeply understand who we are as erotic beings? Because for me, sexuality isn't just this thing that we do. It's a tool for our own personal awakening. It's a tool for us to understand ourselves more deeply. And so I started coming across these five types and then tested them over the years. It's been a 10-year process of bringing this book to fruition. And so the five types, the first one's energetic. And this is someone who's turned on by anticipation, space, tease, longing. I'm guessing maybe a lot of your audience might be energetics. And we're the ones who can really like utilize this manifestation because we can just visualize it. Like I said, I'm in the car, you know, and we can just visualize so easily because we know how to move energy through our bodies.
Yes.
And then the next one is the sensual. And that's someone who sensuality is really important in their sex life. So it's their turn on is in taste, in smells, in the deliciousness of closeness, romance, certain contexts that just really turn them on that have that romantic air to it. So it's what we think of oftentimes when we think of like female sexuality. We've debunked that in over 3 million people taking our quiz. So it's just really interesting to see also how gender plays a role, but oftentimes it's like, oh, get her flowers and chocolates. And that would be a very sensual blueprint. The next is sexual, and the sexual is someone who's turned on by what we think of as sex in our culture. So penetration, orgasms, getting to the climax. It's and what's great about sexuals with manifestation is that they have a lot of that fuel. They have so much fuel. It's just like, okay, but how are we utilizing it? How are we utilizing all that sexual charisma that you have? Then the kinky, and the kinky is someone who's turned on by the taboo. So this is whatever is taboo for you. And this could be, you know, this could be the taboo of like, oh, sex just in general is taboo. And talking about sex is taboo, or it can be what we think of more when we think of BDSM or kink. And then the final one is the shapeshifter. And that's someone who's turned on by all of it. So it's someone who can speak all the languages. They're turned on by all of it. They're great lovers. My theory is that we're actually all shapeshifters. We get conditioned and programmed out of it. And then we compartmentalize parts of ourselves and parts of our sexuality, and we lock those away, and they never actually get to develop within us. And so a full spectrum sexuality actually looks like really integrating all of this. I believe that we're already whole. We're already whole beings. It's just that we get conditioned and programmed and we cut pieces of our wholeness off. And it's about reclaiming that. That's that journey of sexual awakening is about reclaiming our wholeness of who we really are.
Can you imagine a life where you effortlessly magnetize your dreams to you? Financial success, the love of your life, the family of your dreams, and everything you've ever dreamed of at your fingertips. With my approach to manifesting, I have a practical method where you use the power of your creative words. It's called scripting. We write in the past tense in a certain way to attract all our desires to us. I've done this. I met my husband in 3 weeks doing this. I helped myself heal twice. I helped myself get rid of a rash on my body. I have helped myself to elevate myself and get myself out there to so many people. I've changed my bank account number. I've added 2 zeros onto it. I have created abundance like I could never dream of. The most beautiful homes around the world. And you can do this too, like so many of my clients are currently doing right now. The success stories speak for themselves. I want to show you how to do it. This is for somebody who is ready though. Don't even bother coming unless you are ready to transform your life. If you feel like, oh, I'm on the fence, I don't know, none of this shit really works, then baby, it doesn't work. It doesn't work for you. This works for somebody who says, I'm ready. I'm ready to try something else. Try using the power of my words. I want to learn in a curriculum. I want to be in a group with other like-minded individuals, and I want to win. This is for entrepreneurs who are ready to go to the next level, or maybe get out of corporate America and go to the entrepreneurship world. If you're ready, come and join us inside the Scripting Society, and I'll see you there.
Wow, this is so cool. Okay, I have a dying question. I've written it down on a post-it note and I have to ask you. Should we hold our sexual energy? That goes into two parts. One, celibacy, and two, sexual energy and not climax. Hold it, don't explode. Hold it in. What does any of that mean? I have a fair idea, but I know the audience will really benefit from this.
Yeah, I think that it comes down to what works. Experiment in your own body. You know, I've had clients who do both. I've had clients who practice celibacy, and there are definitely states in our sexuality, and resting is one of them, where we consciously choose to not have sex. And then there's healing, and healing is like, oh, I'm healing from something. So I'm going to take time to heal with my sexuality. I'm going to explore what it would look like to really heal if there's been trauma in the history. There's curious. That's kind of where we've been. We've been talking about like, oh, how do I do this? And what's more? And I'm so curious. And then there's adventurous. And that's when you're stepping outside of your comfort zones and exploring edges. And then there's transformational sexuality, which is also what we've been talking about, which is when we're in the transformational stage, we're really interested in the what's more to sex. How are we utilizing sex consciously? And so where I land on this is really there can be a practice of asceticism and renunciation, and that may be the right choice for some people. And there's also the practice of the householder, if we're looking at it from a tantric standpoint. And the practice of the householder is, well, we have all this juicy sexual energy. Let's utilize that for awakening. Let's utilize that for manifestation. And, you know, it's I even in my personal life struggle between these two. Like sometimes I'm like, oh, wow, like, wouldn't it be so amazing to live a monk life and just go and like be quiet and meditate and transmute all my sexual energy all day long. But then I have a son and I have partners and, you know, I have a business and I have a mission in the world. And so my householder life, and the Tantrika said this, they said that maybe it's even more of a feat, you know, to not harder, but wow, if we become enlightened with all of the mundane things that are happening in the world, that's even richer. Like that's even more challenging, more of a challenge. And so let's go for that. And so this really is an individual choice. And for me, my path has been sex. My path has been utilizing this sexual energy. And again, it is our aliveness. So let's do it in pleasure and let's do it in ease and let's do it in aliveness. That sounds really juicy to me.
Oh, I love that. That's so exciting. So you talk about the ways of language and partnering and helping create a path forward for people to have greater sexual fulfillment. How can somebody who just wants a better sex life, they've got their husband, their wife, they're with somebody and they're like, I just want to have a better sex life. I want to be in a better situation. What does that look like? How do you do that?
Well, the first thing is knowing yourself. And I talked about the five erotic blueprints. So if you know what your blueprint is, then you can communicate to your partner, hey, I'm an energetic. And what this looks like, how I'm fed in the energetic, is actually by giving me lots of tease. Giving me lots of space, touching me so lightly.
Wait, with your tea, fingers. Not tea. Cause I'm sitting, I'm drinking my little tea. I'm like, wait, she don't mean tea.
Tease. Yes.
Oh, tease. That kind of tease, like tease. Okay.
Yes, like tease me. Don't give it to them. When an energetic is begging, you know, you've turned them on and you've done your job really, really well. And this doesn't mean turn off your sexual energy, because I see a lot of times the sexual combined with the energetic blueprint.
Yeah.
And what the sexuals then start to do is they start to shut down because they don't want to overwhelm the energetic. But no, come with your full hunger. Just don't act on your full hunger. Just sit there in your full hunger. And when
oh my God.
Is now begging for you to come closer to you, you know, you've done your job. So
do you need to tell your partner how to do this then? If you are the person on the other side of it.
Yeah. I think it's important to communicate. Here's who I am. Here's what turns me on. And again, I think we don't communicate. I think it's been so challenging.
Yeah.
So easy exercise. Can I give another exercise?
Yes, please. We love exercises. Give us some good exercises. Okay.
So this is a dyad, which essentially means that you're going back and forth with someone in the process.
Okay.
And so the prompt is, tell me something that turns you on.
Okay. So I would say, let's pretend we're doing it. I'd be like, it turns me on when you kiss my neck.
Thank you. And now prompt me.
So tell me something that turns you on.
I'm really turned on by mystical practices in sexuality where we're going into sacred union.
Wow. Like, okay. So I did this exercise once. I'm not going to interrupt your story, but I just have to share. It's so cool. I did it with my previous partner, and we would sit on each other fully naked, just like hugging. So I would sit on his lap in the center of the floor or the bed, and I'd be wrapped around him, full skin contact, body like against his, and we'd be like enclosed on each other. And I would feel his body, and we would put our foreheads together or our face or something, and we'd breathe together. And we'd be, it's like Kama Sutra. It was so beautiful. It was such an amazing connection. Okay, back to your...
So good.
Something like that.
So a dyad is simply that. You just do that for like 20 minutes, and you start to learn about your partner and what turns them on. If that feels like it's too confronting, you could also do a prompt that's, tell me something about you and sexuality you would like me to understand. So that's another prompt that's a little safer. Tell me something about you and sexuality you would like me to understand.
Got it.
Yeah.
And then they, so then from there, they then unlock their secret, their feeling. And then you start to lean into each other's. So that's a game. That's so fun. So playing a sexual game with your partner to get these answers that you want. Ah, this is so juicy.
Absolutely. And do it outside of sex. Cause I think sometimes people go, okay, now we're having sex. Let's talk about sex.
Yeah.
Do it as foreplay. Do it before you ever get there, because your minds are going to start, you know, thinking about what turns you on. And then this dyad could easily turn into, well, now let's play. Let's play with some of these things that turn me on. Now, if a partner feels pressured about sex, let's say a sensual blueprint, they're the most often they feel pressured to move into sex. You may want to set up, well, we're not going to have sex tonight. We're just going to talk about this, and then do it another time so that they don't feel like, oh, now there's pressure to have sex. Sensuals need to relax first. You know, if you're looking to turn your partner on and they're sensual, set up something that helps them relax. Whereas a sexual blueprint has sex in order to relax. So if it feels like, you know, you and your partner aren't quite jiving, if you're a sensual with a sexual, it could be just this easy thing. Just get relaxed before you move into sex for sensuals. And sexuals understand that your sensual partner needs that relaxation. So what can you do to help them? Give them a hot bath, clean the house, you know, set up something so that the environment is really beautiful, because that will bring out their aliveness.
Wow. Okay. Sexy. Like candles and like music. See, for me, like I want music on if we're going to make love, and like, I need foreplay. Don't just put me on the bed and just, unless I'm super horny, I don't just want to be put on the bed and made love to. And there's a difference, isn't there? Am I right? Between fucking and making love. There's such
Absolutely.
A difference.
Absolutely.
And I just want to be made love to. Like fucking any dude can do, bend you over. And right. I mean, so boring. Like any guy can do that. We want something which is beautiful, sensual. You feel my body. Like every woman's shape is so beautiful. Every person's shape is so beautiful when you understand sex in that way.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I think we only touch the tip of the iceberg, and that's the shadow side of the sexual. I think we live in a sexually blueprinted culture, which has made sex recreational versus recreational. And so, and that, again, that's the creative process, is sex creates, it's creative energy. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when we're having a baby, we're creating a baby, but every time you're having sex, you're not creating a baby. What else are you creating? And that's when sex becomes recreational. And that then is also understanding our partner and honoring them for who they are and where they are. So to you, you know, like it's interesting to even hear people's blueprints, because to a sexual, we think it's boring, those of us who have other blueprints, because we're just like, that's just like so meat and potatoes, you know, versus all the other expansive things that are available. Why just have the tip of the iceberg? Why just eat, you know, In-N-Out Burger when you can have a 10-course meal? But sometimes In-N-Out Burger is really good.
Oh, no, I know. And I had my first one this year, by the way.
Did you? So I've never had it.
I've never eaten a burger in my life. It was the first time. And I've been with my son, I'd been with my cousins, I've been with guests, I've been with friends, and never eaten. I'd never ate. I just would sit and let them eat, and I'd eat something after, a salad. And then one day I was like, okay, I am going to actually try this thing. And I did. And you know what? It's like sex. It's like the first time that I came from oral sex. I was like, I just have to try something different and you get a different result. If you don't do something different, you won't see a different result. Sex or in your career or with anything. You have to do something different to see something different. And absolutely, that's how I came for the first time. I was like, I am going to try this. I am going to allow myself to try something different. And a girl taught me how to come.
Wow, that's fun.
I watched her climax from oral sex from a guy, and I was like with her, which I guess is like being a voyeur in a way, but like I was watching this and I was like, oh my god, like just I wanted to learn. I told her I actually just want to learn. And you know, I was really attracted to her anyway, so it was like we kind of had this like fun friendship, and she was like, I'll show you. And then she did, and that literally
that's
like
so amazing,
the whole code. Yeah.
And this points to something. We learn, some of us, by seeing. We're mostly visual learners. And sex is something that we don't get to see. We don't get to see authentic sex. We don't get to see what it looks like. Correct. We can watch porn, but it's not usually authentic. I mean, to get even a camera angle, you got to be in a strange place. And, you know, so
I know. You know,
this points to, again, like we have such a lack of education about what's possible. And people ask me, well, why do you demonstrate? And, you know, aren't you showing off? And I'm like, it's never about showing off. For me, it's about you get to see now what's possible. And when you see what's possible, then it becomes possible for you because you just saw it. It's like Roger Bannister in the 4-minute mile. It's like nobody else. What I think is really interesting about, you know, he ran that 4-minute mile, but later that year, nobody had run it. But later that year, like 36 people ran a 4-minute mile. So once we see an orgasmic possibility, it becomes completely, it becomes something that we can do now because we saw it.
It's so true once we see it. And a lot of it is in the brain. Like you won't come if you are stressed. You have to fully relax and let go. And in fact, when I've been in some of my most stressed states, having an orgasm is the best way to like get myself out of that head state. But it's also hard to get horny when you're stressed. Like, you know, men don't, when I've been in relationships or, you know, like with somebody and they want to have sex, I'm like, yo, I just had the craziest day. Like the last thing I want to think about is sex right now. So how do you change that? Like how, cause you do this, you know, I feel like it's a different vibe for you. How do you navigate that?
Yeah. So this going to the brain. So we have a dual control motor response in our brain.
Okay.
The dual control is always scanning for what's sexually relevant in our environment. 24/7. We're always scanning for it. Some of us have more of an inhibition in our dual control versus excitation. So there's the excitation side, which says, get excited, get turned on, be in the mood. And then we have the inhibitor that says, nope, not the right time, stress, all those kinds of things that are going on. And so with this model, some of us have more, Emily Nagoski in her book, Come As You Are, talked about the brakes versus the accelerator in this model. And so the brakes are those things that say don't have sex. But some of us are running our car with the handbrake on all the time. And that's your past stuff that you haven't dealt with yet, you know, traumas, things that are just like always inhibiting, or biochemistry, maybe it's something in your hormones, maybe you're going through menopause, and that's always inhibiting. And then the gas pedal is our accelerator. That's our excitation system. So you either have the brakes or the gas pedal or this handbrake on. But what a lot of us are doing, we're walking around, you know, with the brake on, and we're trying to keep putting stuff on the accelerator. Here's what turns you on. Here's what turns you on. Do all these things that turn you on. But if you got the brake and the handbrake on, you're not going anywhere, no matter how much you put gas on the pedal. And so what's interesting around stress is that for 80% of people, sex is inhibitory. I mean, stress is inhibitory. So when you're stressed out, you're not going to want to have sex. For 20% of us, stress is excitatory, which means we feel stressed, so now we want to have sex. And I think this is also sexual blueprint. Mostly the sexual blueprints, when they get stressed, they have sex in order to relax. They have sex in order to downregulate and relax.
Wow.
So some tricks, if you have to, I just have more of the 20%. I'm the 20% of people. When I feel stressed, I'm like, please let's have sex. Cause then I feel like
I'm like the opposite, better. Tap out. I'm like, forget it. Like if I'm stressed, I lose my mojo and it's so lame. So I'm like, I don't want to go to that place, you know?
Yeah. So some things you could do, you know, if that's an inhibitor for you, is I call them toggles. So what are things you're going to do to toggle from the stressful life and into the erotic? Is it music, where you have like some kind of really sexy song that you love, that you can put on a sexy song and something that makes you feel really, really good in your body? And you just breathe and move for a little while. And you start to notice the mind chatter, if the mind chatter is doing those little limiting beliefs of like, oh, I'm not in the mood, or, oh, I just don't feel so turned on, and start to drop in into your body and into your breath. And maybe it's through touch or some kind of anchor that you can start to come more into your body.
Love that.
And start to enter the erotic realm.
Oh my, I've written so many notes while I've been speaking. This is unbelievable. I love this. This is the benefit of me actually doing this virtually versus in person. I can actually write notes. I'm so excited. By the way, for everybody who's enjoying this so far, and we've still got way more to go, if you are, I'm just going to interject with her book, and make sure you get yourself a copy. If you aren't watching this right now, it's called Your Blueprint for Pleasure: Discover the 5 Erotic Types to Awaken and Fulfill Your Desires. And if you are enjoying what we've spoken about, this is obviously inside the book, and you're going to learn all around sex and pleasure and the blueprint to unlocking that code within you to manifest. So get yourself a copy of this. I'm going to put the link below so you're able to order a copy. And I'm just so excited for the responses of people's sex life to see how it improves. Okay, I have a question. So how to navigate when you're stuck with a partner who has a sense of entitlement and a lack of empathy? What do you do?
Oof, that one's a hard one. So, you know, one of the things I talk about with our partners, because I think that oftentimes people think like, oh, I can't make improvement if my partner's not on board, or my partner's, you know, really entitled. And there has to be a willingness.
Got it.
So how willing is your partner to look at their entitlement? If they think that you owe them sex, that's very shadow of the sexual, where we've gotten these patriarchal ideas, or we've gotten these ideas of entitlement, like, oh, we're married now, so now you owe me sex and you can't create boundaries. That's a red flag, big red flag. So how do you help them move into empathy? How do you help them shift their brain? You know, because that is a brain thing where they think that that's and that's a deep belief. That's a deep limiting belief. And so one of the things you can start to do is start to create your own boundaries. If you have not created boundaries in a relationship like that, where someone is saying that you owe them sex at any time, boundaries. And this is time for you to go, okay, I can make a boundary and make it a yes. And this is a really interesting trick, which is, you know, your partner says, oh, you owe me sex because we're married and that's your duty. And that's really toxic entitlement. And then I would go, yes, and not tonight. Yes, and, you know, I might be willing to have sex with you if you could really understand where I'm coming from and help me feel more seen and heard.
So
yes, wow. And in the way that you're creating a boundary versus no, or, you know, and if you come from your juicy pleasure, can also help them with this, because there's like, no, I'm closed off, I'm going to put up all the walls. And then they're going to push against that more because they feel that resistance. They're going to think they can coerce or convince. And so instead, if you step into your erotic power, and you just come all juicy, like playful, juicy, yes, I'd love to give you sex because I'm your wife. And sure, I could do that, but here's what I need. You know, it has a totally different energy to
totally
it.
Totally different. Like, and then I need $2 million in my bank account by the morning. I also need you to sign the house I want to buy.
That's playing in a little financial dominance. That's a little kink, you know, there's like,
yeah, that is totally a kink.
Financial dominance, you
that's
know,
that's actually a thing. That's, I know some people do that. No, but really that's when you get your argument answered. Like, I need you to help me more with the kids, or I need you to be more observant of what I do for you in the house. Because when you come home, I feel like you don't see that. I don't know if you spring clean the whole house. I remember being that girl once. I used to clean and cook for my men. And now, honey, I do none of it. I do not. I'm like, and some women do, and they manage to run a full business, but I'm a single mom trying to run a business, trying to be a mom, travel like I do. And I'm on a tour right now and be the provider for, oh my God. Like, there is no way if I'm dating somebody that I'm going to have time to clean your house or cook for you. If I cook for you, it's a one-off and it's fucking amazing. But the rest of the time, my energy and my love is going to elevate you so much. I'm going to be the perfect wife. But that to me does not mean having to clean and cook, which once upon a time, that was my value.
Right,
that was all I was, right?